counting.
We will get to use the gemara. Okay. The last 3 weeks of... the last 3 weeks of Masechta Shabbos have been particularly rich, rich, rich block.
Gives you room for a year on the last few.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't like, you know, scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Right, right, right.
Any topic. Any topic.
Yeah. More a question of trying to figure out what not to talk about. I want to focus, I made the most obvious thing to talk about, between Kira and Bishol and Shia and Atmana. But I want to talk about something that actually is commonly discussed and maybe could do with a little bit of clarification. It's something that comes up every single day, literally and figuratively, and is relevant to many, many, many areas of halacha. To Shabbos, certainly, but not exclusive to Shabbos. That, of course, is a question of Zmanei Hayom. And in terms of how one defines when night begins, the Gemara tells us the first, going back to our first blot of Dafyomi, first blot of Shas, Brachas Dabez, the Gemara already tells us, the Mishnayos talk about Kriyat Shema at night and then Kriyat Shema during the day. And one of the opening questions the Gemara has, you may remember, was why we talk about nighttime first? And the answer is, well, because that's the way the Jewish calendar works. Usually, in most areas of halacha, Hayom Holech Achar Laila, the day begins, 24-hour day begins at night. And the Gemara there already gets involved with exactly when is that. When does the night begin, and when, therefore, does the day begin? And the Gemara there talks about Tzeis HaKochavim. And the Gemara there understands that the Mishnah, when talking about Kriyat Shema, was indirectly referring to Tzeis HaKochavim. When the Kohanim are permitted to go eat their Truma after having been Tovel that day, so that's just another way of saying when night begins, and that's a way of referring to Tzeis HaKochavim. Not everyone agreed that Kriyat Shema depends on Tzeis HaKochavim. That was a discussion amongst the Tanoim on the beginning of Brachas, but that was the position of the Mishnah, and presumably that's the way we paskin. So even Kriyat Shema depends, even Kriyat Shema, which is a halacha b'shach b'cha, that too depends on Tchilas HaLeil.
Does anybody discuss why such a fundamental issue as to when does the day start and when does the day end is subject to such machlokas?
Jews.
Is it surprising?
No.
That there is a machlokas is the problem. I mean, tell me when the day starts, tell me when the day ends. What are you pointing to? I mean,
Shabbos Tav Lamedal.
It's just, that is the machlokas. Why is there a machlokas?
Yeah, we're going to come back to that. Let's jump into this again, and I think we're going to circle back to your point. But what I want to do now is really two things. The first is to understand what the discussion is, what discussion the Gemara Rishonim is, in terms of Bein Hashmashas. I then want to understand the machlokas of Antam and the Gaonim, what the different positions are, and to understand where they come from, what they're saying, and maybe even to see a little bit of what the astronomical basis is for the different approaches, or where you would find the machlokas of Antam and Gaonim in Wikipedia, to put it that way. And then if you have time, maybe to talk a little bit, not just about the what, but about the why. The Rav has a very beautiful, more than one Yartzeit Drasha, where he spoke about, dug in to the topic of Bein Hashmashas. Maybe we'll have a chance to talk of that a little bit also. But let's get started here with the what. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us, the Braisa Lamed Dalam and Beis, tells us there's something called Bein Hashmashas. There is a period of time called Bein Hashmashas. Bein Hashmashas is a period of time, twilight, the period of time, which is Safik Yom, Safik Lail. So it's undetermined status. And when is this Bein? Before Bein Hashmashas is daytime. After Bein Hashmashas is over is nighttime. During this interval, however, during this interval is the Safik Yom, Safik Laila. And then the Braisa goes on to say, when is Bein Hashmashas? Which is the big question. Misha Tishka Hachama for some period of time. Misha Tishka Hachama. It begins at Shkia Sachama, when the sun dips at sunset, until some point of darkness after that. And the Gemara goes on to have a long, long discussion Machlokas Tanam, Machlokas Amram, exactly how dark does it have to be? A lot of these astronomical phenomena we really miss because of all the light pollution. The further you can get from that, the more you begin to appreciate when some of the is gorgeous. Hichsef Hatachton, Hichsef Elyon, when you see the change, and they're sort of counterintuitive, which parts of the sky become dark first. And the Gemara talks in two sets of terms. The Gemara talks in terms of observable phenomena. What do you see in the sky that tells you that Bein HaShemashos is over? And the Gemara talks in terms of numbers. How many minutes is it from Shkia Sachama to Tzeis HaKochav? How do you know Tzeis HaKochav? To be more precise, the Gemara talks about how long the period of Bein HaShemashos is. Now, the Braisa told us on Lamed Aleph Beis that Bein HaShemashos begins Mishatishka Achama, and then on Lamed Hei Beis, when the Gemara is wrapping up this sugya, so the wrap up is Tzeis HaKochav. Rav Yehuda quotes Shmuel that Kochav Echad is Yom. Two kochavim are Bein HaShemashos, and shlosha are laila. That's where Tzeis HaKochavim comes from. Right? There, and it's referenced in Brachas Daf Beis, that when you have three kochavim, that's a siman of laila. So Bein HaShemashos, and that's how we paskin. Bein HaShemashos goes Misha Tishka Hachama, Lamadal and Beis, until Tzeis Gimel Kochavim. Once three stars are visible, the Gemara's discussion what size stars, are different sizes of stars, obviously. The larger they are, the earlier you see them because the more light they give. The smaller they are, the later, the longer it'll take to see them. But from Shkiyas, we pull the pieces together. Bein HaShemashos goes from Shkiyas Zachav until Tzeis HaKochavim. And that's for a period of, the Gemara had a discussion about the details, but we seem to assume 2 3/4 of a mil. Why? 2/3, 3/4, it's very minimal difference, a difference of a minute or so, 3/4 of a mil. So from Shkiyas, that's what emerges. For the maskana of the Gemara and Shabbos, Lamed Daled Lamed Hey, is the period of Safik Yom, Safik Laila, Bein HaShemashos. It goes from Shkia until Tseis, from Shkia Sachamot to Tseis Kochavim, and that takes 3/4 of a mil. Okay. There are two definitions of Tseis of Bein HaShemashos. Seems pretty consistent. What is 3/4 of a mil as an aside? So a mil is a distance. A mil isn't a period of time, but the way B'tkufas HaChazal, one of the ways of measuring time was using distance, and if you have a sort of a standard walking pace, so you'll be able to measure time that way. So it seems like there's a machlokas harishonim. What exactly is the length of the distance of a mil is 2,000 amas. But what in minutes, when we talk about kedei hiluch mil, what did Chazal have in mind? So the most common view is 18 minutes. That's you hear the matzah bakery also. The Rambam seems to say it's 2/5 of an hour, 24 minutes. And the Vilna Gaon points out that if you think about long and hard, put enough Gemaras together, he thinks you come to the conclusion that the Truma Sadesh might already say this, that it's 22 and a half minutes. Okay, so rough in the same rough zone. So 3/4 of a mil will be somewhere between, in higher mathematics, 13 and a half minutes and 18 minutes. So around there. Okay. So that's what the Gemara and Shabbos says.
They walk very fast.
Huh? They walk very slowly. Yeah. Tremendously slowly. Because 2,000, I've thought about this in the past. Yeah. So a mil is maximum 2/3 of a mile.
Right.
So to think that they walk 2/3 of a mile in 24 minutes.
It's very slow.
It's very slow. It's a 36-minute mile. I'm not sure. On the other hand, the shoes weren't the same and the roads weren't paved. So, if you're climbing through the brambles, or even just walking on a dirt road, I'm not sure. Yeah, it is interesting. Okay, but that's the Gemara and Shabbos. So we have a 3/4 of a mil interval that runs from Shkia Zachama until Tzeis HaKochavim. So where does this whole Rebbeinu Tam come in? Rebbeinu Tam points out that if all I had was a Gemara and Shabbos, I would be doing well. The problem is that I have a Gemara in Pesachim. The Gemara in Pesachim is a ninth parak. Of Pesachim, ninth parak of Pesachim is all about Pesach Sheni. When did I legitimately miss bring Karm Pesach on Erev Pesach such that I have the right responsibility to make it up on Yud Daled Iyar? So one of the conditions the Torah talks about, one of the circumstances the Torah describes is I'm Bederech Rechoka. I was far from Beis Hamikdash on Erev Pesach. I was out of range. Is that range? Okay. So then you make it up on Pesach Sheni. So what's called out of range? How far is out of range? So that gets a whole discussion going in the ninth parak of Pesachim. And the Gemara starts talking about walking from here to there, and how long would it take me? How far could I walk? So the, what the a popular approach in Tanam and Amram, it maybe has to do with how long would it take if I would walk half the day on Erev Pesach, either from Chatzos to Shkia, or maybe it's from sunrise to Chatzos, that's where the Rambam presents it, but if we walk half a day, so how far would I get? How far out? How distant can I be from Yerushalayim and still make it there in half a day? So the Gemara starts thinking about what that is. So the Gemara, in the course of talking about that, goes, well, maybe it's 15 mil in half a day. And then the Gemara throws in something about, and from Shkia to Seis HaKochavim is 4 mil. So Rabbi Tam says, come again? Here he said that Bein HaShemashos is 3/4 of a mil. And again, if you use the 18-minute mil, that's 13 and a half minutes. Over there, the Gemara said from Shkia to Tseis is 4 mil, which again, using the minimal 18-minute mil is 72 minutes. That's where 72 minutes come from. Oh, that's a big difference. Where did the other 58 and a half, an hour just disappeared. So which one is it? Is from Shkia to Tseis 13 and a half minutes, or is it 72 minutes?
Who is it,
Shkia
to Tseis or Shkia
tonight? The Gemara there says from Shkia to Shkia Sechav to Tseis
HaKochav.
Right. So how are you going to resolve this? So to make a long story short, there are a couple of different ways of looking at this. To make a long story short, is one way of resolving it is that it could be, some suggest that it could be Tzamachlog HaSugis, or it could have mean there was a backing away. The Gemara in Pesachim was version 1, and the Gemara in Shabbos is in Maskana. But neither Rebbe Tam nor the Vilna Gaon take that approach. They both assume...
It's the same person, so Yehuda.
Right.
Both places.
Yeah, it's a problem. Yeah. So they both assume that there is a way to resolve reconcile the two Gemaras, and something has to be doubled. One of those names is being used in two different ways. So Rebbe Tam says that... that the term shkia means two different things in two different contexts. The Gemara here says Mishatishka Achama. Don't say it's like Kochavim is 13 and a half minutes. That's shkia number 2. The Gemara over there, it says it's 72 minutes. That's shkia number 1. Two shkias. Or to be more precise, Rebbe Tam understands that the shkia is a process. Shkia isn't, what we think at sunset is the we think of it as the moment that the last uppermost limb of the sun disappears below the horizon, that's the moment of sunset. And by the time apparently understood, based on the discussion, the Gemara has a discussion there, machlokas, the Jewish Chachamim, and the non-Jewish Chachamim, Chachmei Yisrael, Chachmei Yisraelim, the Gemara of Pesachim records a machlokas about what happens to the sun after it dips under the horizon. So the Gemara talks about going through the Ovi Harakia, through the thickness of the sky, which is probably, Leo Levi points out, as a reference to the process of refraction. That the reason why it doesn't get pitch black the moment the sun sets is because the light of the sun is bent through the atmosphere. And even though the sun is below the horizon, the rays of the sun that are really down there, you imagine the sun dipped below the table. So I can't see the ball of the sun. If all the rays of the sun only travel straight, so I'm going to be in the dark. Only up there will be light. But since there's atmospheric refraction, so some of the rays of the sun, they come up and then they sort of bend towards me. That's why there'll still be a little bit of light. As the sun dips deeper and deeper, less of the light reaches me until finally it dips so deep that no light reaches me at all. That's why darkening is a gradual process. So that seems to be what they're going to refer to, this notion, the idea of Ovi Harakia.
When do they consider Shkia? The bottom of the orb of the sun going below the horizon, or the top of the orb going below?
So Shkia Rishis, over in Rabbi Tam's terminology, Shkia Rishona, or Tchila Shkia, the beginning of Shkia process, is when the last bit, meaning the top, the uppermost limb, disappears. But a lot of the darkening is Rabbi Tam thinks of as that's part of the process of Shkia. Shkia begins with the disappearance of the sun, and then as it continues to get darker and darker, that's where the Gemara describes as passing through the thickness of the sky, and then already Seis HaKochavim is a little bit later.
As the sun, according to the Chumash, the sun goes into the thickness of the sky, so as it's going in, that's why get the less thing and less thing.
Right.
So shkia is not a exact time.
Right. So Rabbeinu Tam says
today is the exact time, but you don't know what.
So this is Rabbeinu Tam's take, right? Rabbeinu Tam's take is shkia is a process. The Gemara here in Shabbos that had a very short interval between shkia and tseis. That was the end of shkia until tseis. From the end of shkia until tseis is a mere 13 and a half minutes. Okay, and that's bein hashmashos. The Gemara there was talking about the guys walking. So the guy is walking. So when the sun dips down below the horizon until it says like a chavim, that's going to be a total from the beginning of shkia until it says that's going to be a lot more. That's going to be a total of 72 minutes. That's Rabbeinu Tam's approach. Now, is there nafkin for the first shkia? There are one or two. Rabbeinu Tam does say in Tosas and Brachas that. I'm not sure. Tom, I believe, holds that dam nifsal b'shkia sachama. The Gemara said that the dam karbanos is already out of commission. Once you had shkia, I believe Rabbeinu Tam says that's tchilas shkia, which might lead one to believe that mincha should also follow tchilas shkia, which is important nafkamina in following Rabbeinu Tam. But let's just try to digest Rabbeinu Tam a little bit. So what he's saying is that Nathan is pointing out, basically, for almost all purposes, not for all purposes, it's vada yom until the end of the shkia process, right? Because the Gemara on Shabbos is the one that's actually talking about when is yom, when is laila, and when's the interval in between the suffik yom, suffik laila. And so for Rabbeinu Tam, it's vada yom, absolutely day for almost all purposes until the end of the shkia process, which is again approximately an hour after what we call astronomical sunset. So,
is it a suffik yom, suffik laila, or no, we just don't know? It's definitely one or the other.
It's vada yom,
right?
There's a period called bein hashmashos, right, which is suffik yom, suffik laila.
It's not a third period. We just don't know.
That's a very good question. I want to end with that. But first, let's discuss the phenomenon. Then we'll get into.
You didn't see what I'm asking.
Yeah.
I always read the last page of the book.
According to Rambam, Ben Hashmashos doesn't begin until almost an hour after sundown.
Right. In other words, whatever Ben Hashmashos is, whatever type of you're raising another question which you want to come to, which is. Well, where is this? So, which is along the lines of what Jack was saying before. It's sort of funny to have a suffix, especially since the Gemara doesn't even try to resolve the suffix. The Gemara spends a lot of time trying to figure out when the period of suffix is. Right. The Gemara never bothers to figure out, let's answer the question, is Bnei Hashmashos Yom or Laila or halfway? I don't know. So that's curious. We'll close with that. But first, just a phenomenon of when this Bnei Hashmashos period is. So it doesn't even get started for Rabbeinu Tam until around an hour after the sun sets, which. There are a number of problems with that. One, the most famous problem is that which the Vilna Gaon raises in his Be'er HaGra on Hilcha Shabbos. He says that's not true. He says, number one, right. It's pitch black outside. So it's sort of hard to make the argument. No, it's hard to make the argument intuitively that it's day and not only Vadayom, it's mamash pitch black outside. Moreover, not only is there a sort of like this intuitive argument that's very built-in mistabir, but the Gemara spoke about observable astronomical phenomena. For example, the end of Bein Hashmashos, which follows Shkia, is Gimel Kochav. So he says Hachush Makish, when the famous line he says, you know, the sensory data that the contradiction in time sheet, not just that. Oh, you know, Misvar, it's so dark, how could it be Yom? He says, look outside. There are a lot more than three kochavim visible long before Rabbeinu Tam's Sof Shkia. He tells me that Sof Shkia, then later is Gimel Kochavim. The sky, again, it's for us it's sort of hard to assess because we live in the post-Thomas Edison era. But almost everyone who was talking about this saw the same sky. We just don't. They were all, Rabbeinu Tam, the Vilna Gaon, and the Tana Maharam, they all saw more or less the same sky. They all had the same visibility. We're the ones who are missing it because we have all these electric lights. But if Vilna Gaon says, everyone knows, let's just look outside. There are a lot more than three stars out. So, what? And then there are more kashas also. And this one is critical.
That very based on the time of year.
I'm sorry. It does vary based on the time of year. We're going to get back to that soon. And the Vilna Gaon actually makes that point explicitly. He says, don't get too carried away with the numbers. Don't worship numbers of minutes, because everyone knows that astronomical phenomena vary. He's right. He writes based on the Ofek and based on the time of year. I mean, based on latitude and how far you are from the equator and what time of the year it is. Presumably, Vilna Gaon points out, Chazal were giving numbers that corresponded to the equinox, Pesach time, the equinox, at the latitude of Eretz Yisrael, or maybe Bavel. So the numbers are going to have to be adjusted for the time and place. As an aside, by the way, when you talk about it varying by the time of year, it's not the same as the way daytime zmanim vary by the time of year. And the daytime zmanim, so we know, the day is shortest in the winter and longest in the summer. So when we talk about Shavuos Manios, a third of the day, a quarter of the day, so obviously it's going to be longer, it's more expanded in the summer, and it's more shrunken in the winter, and that's because from our perspective, in the winter the sun sets, rises and sets further south, and in the summer rises and sets further north, and cuts a larger arc in the sky. So that's relatively simple. The nighttime zmanim are a little bit different. Leo Levy, in his Jewish Chrononomy, actually points out he has a diuk in the Rambam's Pirush HaMishnayos in the original Arabic, and he writes that he pointed out to Rav Kafach, Rav Yosef Kafach, who had done the famous fresh translation for Masad Rav Kook from the original Arabic. He's one of the great, the guttle of Taimony Jewry. And he writes that Rav Kafach was maskim to Leo Levy, that Leo Levy was right. He caught a mistake. The Rambam is the one who really first put forward the terminology of Shavuos Manios and Shavuos Shavos. Shavuos Shavos mean 60-minute hours, and Shavuos Manios mean variable according to the length of the day, according to the season. So Leo Levy pointed out, if you read the Rambam's language in the Parish HaMish, beginning of Bracha, slowly and carefully, there's a third term, which is not Shavuos Manios. He says there's one term, Arabic term, I forget what it is, which Rambam uses when he's talking about variable hours during the daytime. That's Shavuos Manios. You look at the length of the day from sunrise to sunset, you divide by 12. But he says, whenever the Rambam talks about Zmanim, when the sun is down, there's a different Arabic term that he uses for measuring the time. It doesn't have to do with dividing the time in 12. Or to put it differently, it doesn't have to do with sundial hours, which is really what Shavuos Manios are. What it has to do with is the vertical depression of the sun below the horizon. Because that's really what... Because he points out all the Zmanim Balayla, except for Chatzos, they all have to do with how dark it is. Think about it. Tetzach Kochavim is a measure of darkness. How many stars can you see? It depends on how dark it is. Alos HaShachar means the beginning of light. Mishayakar is Chavero means there's enough light that I can already recognize people. And so all the Zmanim, because there is no visible sun. Bayom, there's a visible sun, so you can have a sundial, you can figure out Shavuos Manios. There's no point in measuring time when the sun is down by twelfths. What you do is you measure the darkness. But darkness is not a function of how far the sun has traveled. It's only a function of how vertically, how deep the sun is below the horizon. Different seasons of the year, the sun's angle of attack is different. So if the sun is setting more shallowly, so then it'll take a lot longer to get to X number of degrees below. If the angle of attack is steeper, it'll take much less time to get to the desired angle. So that's so those are the Zman Elayla, and you have to do that spherical trigonometry. You plug in your latitude, you plug in the time of the year, and you run the equations, you figure out, okay, how long it's going to take for it to be that dark. So that's the way the cheshbonos are done. Figure out 3/4 of a mil, whatever number of minutes after Shkia, in whatever location you're in, Eretz Yisrael, how dark is it at that point? At that time, or to be more precise, how many degrees below the horizon is the sun? And then I'll just, for any place in the world, any time of year, just calculate, and I know what number of degrees I need. Okay. Now, but coming back to this Rabbi Yonatan, so Vilna Gaon says, number one, it's sort of built-in mistaber, it just doesn't sit well, that's Vayah Yom when it's so dark. Moreover, Seis Gimel Kochavim isn't happening then. And then, another point is the Rashba In the Rashba, I think the Rashba is actually here, or he's in Brachas. The Rashba is here. Yeah, he points out Yerushalmi, that seems to indicate that it's against Rabbeinu Tam. Yerushalmi seems to indicate that Seitz HaKachavim happens and still continuing to get darker and darker. So it's not as though Sof HaShkia is the end of the darkening process. And the Vilna Gaon points out also...
It's almost built in, because it's three Kochavim. It's not all the Kochavim.
Right, clearly. And the Vilna Gaon says, think about that Gemara and Pesachim. The Gemara and Pesachim had set up like a very symmetrical situation. That Alos HaShachar is 4 mil before sunrise, and says that Kochavim is 4 mil after sunset. What's the idea of Alos HaShachar? That's the crack of dawn. First light. When you just begin to have a glimmering of sunlight. Before Alos HaShachar, it's absolutely, utterly dark. So, but the parallel is going to be that Tzeis HaKochavim, 4 mil after Shkia, is when it finally becomes thoroughly dark. It's not going to be Gimel Kochavim, it's going to be all the stars. When it's thoroughly dark, then all visible stars are going to be visible. That's it. So the Vilna Gaon says, it's not that there are two Shkias. There are two different things we're calling Tzeis HaKochavim. The Gemara there, the parallel is beautiful. The parallel to Alos HaShachar is Tzeis HaKochavim. That's the end of the darkening process. It's 72 minutes after, at least in Eretz Yisrael, at the equinox, occurs 72 minutes after sunset. That's when the sun is so deep that there's no light at all, and you can see all the stars. The Tzeis HaKochavim is complete. What the Gemara here is interested in is... Three kochavim.
What's the halachic nafkamina
of beginning and completion? So Vilna Gaon says. So then you're asking the Nathan's kasha for the Vilna Gaon. Vilna Gaon points out that the Gemara there wasn't trying to discuss halachic nafkamina. The Gemara was talking about walking. So he thinks that that's not really a problem. Here the Gemara is very clearly talking nafkaminas, and he says then everything fits into place. And what's fascinating is the following. When you make the cheshbono, so the two main ways of aligning Rabbeinu Tam with degrees, the major approaches are either if you run the numbers of the 72 minutes, or again, it could also be 90 or 96, depending on how big your mill is, that ends up being either 11 degrees or 17 degrees. If you work at the Vilna Gaon, the 3/4 of a mill after sunset, that ends up being around 6 degrees. So here's what's fascinating, and this will take us to the next leg of our discussion. If you check with the Naval Observatory, there are three accepted definitions, scientific and legal, for twilight. There's civil twilight, there's nautical twilight, and there's astronomical twilight. Civil twilight is from sunset until the sun reaches 6 degrees below the horizon. Nautical twilight is until the sun reaches 12 degrees below the horizon. And astronomical twilight is until the sun reaches 18 degrees below the horizon. Those should sound like pretty familiar numbers. And what do they all mean? What do they all mean? So civil twilight is for legal purposes. Certain crimes carry greater penalties if they happen in Balayla. Burglary, I think, is defined differently. So burglary is nocturnal if it occurs after civil dusk, after civil twilight, which is 6 degrees below. Or let's say when the park closes at dusk, so that's 6 degrees below. So that's for legal purposes, and we'll get back in a moment to why, where they got the number from. Nautical twilight is when a sailor will tell you that it's totally dark. They're the ones who care the most. They're navigating by the stars. They have no light pollution. And from a sail, from to the naked eye, the remnants of sunlight are gone, and when the sun dips 12 degrees below the horizon, which is strikingly similar to 11 degrees below the horizon, which is one of the two approaches of Rabbeinu Tam. 18 degrees below the horizon is the end of astronomical twilight. Astronomical twilight is when it's really true, not just to the naked eye, but even with instruments, all sunlight is gone. All effects of atmospheric refraction are absolutely gone at once the sun is 18 degrees below, vertically below the horizon. That's the other approach of Rabbeinu Tam. And if you think about what the Vilna Gaon said, that Rabbeinu Tam, 72 minutes is really Tzeis HaKochavim, so it's absolutely beautiful that's again, different ways, either nautical or astronomical twilight, that's essentially Say it's called Kochavim. Meanwhile, let's come back to the Vilna Gaon. So Vilna Gaon said that it's...
How do you know it if it's only detectable with instruments?
How do you know it? I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, that would tilt you in favor of saying that it's 11 degrees as opposed to 17 degrees.
Well, everybody's different. I mean, maybe Rabbi Yotam is able to see more of that light.
Right. My interest isn't even Rabbi Yotam as much as that Gemara. Now, the way that Vilna Gaon is looking at everything, that Gemara is talking about Seitz Kol Kochavim, which corresponds well. Now, let's talk about, let's come back to the question that Jackie and Larry raised, and then we'll come back to Civil Dusk. The Rav, one of his opening kashas in the Yartzei Drasha is that this is such a strange suffix. The Gemara always tries to be miyash. You have a suffix, you try to post it. Here the Gemara just very happily swallows it's a suffix, and that we just sort of move on. And we get involved in the details of when is this period of suffix begin and end, but no concern about what is the Shorash HaSafik? What are we in doubt about? And is there some magic number of minutes when usually assume like Be'ash Marshes is the period of time during these 13 and a half minutes, somewhere during there is a magic moment we switch from day to night. We're not really sure where that magic moment is. So then, Harry, why didn't the Gemara go for that? Why bother to find beginning of Vanishment? Just try to be potion this up. Let's figure out when does Laila begin. And the language of the Gemara, it's Suffolk Yom, Suffolk Laila, Suffolk Kum Yom, Suffolk Kum Laila. What does that mean? And he builds up, we don't have time for all the kashas, kasha after kasha. One or two quick ones. The Vilna Gaon, there's a Machlokas Magen Avraham Vilna Gaon. It appears in the Luach Zmanim as a machlokas over when Sos Man Kriya Shema is. It's really a machlokas over when you talk about Sha'os Manios, divide the day into 12 parts, from when to when. Are you divine from Alos HaShachar Tezak Kochavim, or are you divine from Shkia, from Zericha, from sunrise, to Hanei Sachama, until sunset? So the Magen Avraham says, well, day really begins, the Mishnah Megillah tells us that day begins from Alos HaShachar. We encourage you to wait. Ideally, you should wait on various mitzvahs until Hanei Tzacham. But strictly speaking, if a person did a milah anytime after Alos HaShachar, he blew shofar anytime after Alos HaShachar, strictly speaking, you're Yotze. Kedavin Shimon Esrei of Shachar is, strictly speaking, not ideal, but anytime after Alos HaShachar, you're Yotze. It is Yom. Probably Midrabanan, we recommend that you wait until Hanei Tzacham. But strictly speaking, it's Yom. So many times you go from Yom, beginning of Yom, until Tzeis. So the Vilna Gaon is very... Vilna Gaon has rias that he's right, but how could that be? Why would Shos Manios only begin from sunrise if the day began more than an hour earlier?
Using a sundial.
Huh? Yeah, using a sundial, but the question is, but that's not Shlish Hayom. It's a good way to measure, but how could you call that Shlish Hayom?
The only way to accurately measure what a day is to measure the light.
Right, but then don't call it Shlish Hayom. Maybe, okay. But it's not really a quarter of the day. It's a quarter of part of the day. He builds up a series of cautions. The idea he puts forward is the following. He suggests that it's not really a... It's not that there's some moment when day ends and night begins in that 13 and a half minutes and we're not sure what the moment is. No. He says, he points you to this Ritva and Yuma. Ritva points out a strange Gemara. The Gemara says a Kohen takes the Ketoros with his hands and the Lo Chafnayim, and then he whatever's inside his hands has to go be burnt. Has to be burnt. Whatever's outside his hands and he brushed off can't be burnt because that's not part of Lo Chafnayim. So the Gemara starts wondering, a Shaila, how about what's directly between your fingers? Is that like inside or like out? Beni. Is that like inside or like outside? A Shaila. So the Gemara says, also they came to the conclusion that's a Suffolk. So Ritva says, that's not a conclusion. I mean, you didn't come to the conclusion. Don't tell you came to the conclusion. What happened? Okay, so Teku, we're fine with Teku. But how do you tell me you're poshet? So Ritva says, no. He says, the conclusion was that it's a little bit of both. The conclusion, it's not that it's either one or the other. I'm not sure which one it is. The conclusion was that it's on the line is sometimes inside, on the line is sometimes outside. This is the original on the line child. So it has elements of both. So al pi halacha, it's like a paradoxical state. So al pi, the way we treat it practically is the same way you treat a suffix. But not because we don't know what it is. We know what it is. Is it A or B? Yes. It's A and yes,
third
it's B.
Kind of
right, exactly. Third. Exactly. So that's what he's saying. And the Ritva says, sure. So, and after all, it's the same way by Bein HaShmashas. Ritva says, in Yuma, just like by Bein HaShmashas.
The suffix is not what it is. The suffix is how you treat it.
Exactly. So that's what the Rav said, I found this line in Ritva, who has the key to the problem. The key to the solving the enigma, Ritva says, yes, it's Yom, and yes, it's Laila. And therefore, and he points out that the Torah in Bereishis defines day in two different ways. It defines day in the fourth day of Bria. The Psukim say that the sun and the moon are there, L'yamim u'l'shanim. You can define days by the sun. But the Torah also speaks about Yom in terms of Yom and Laila defined in terms of Or and Choshech. So the Rav suggests that there really are two ways of defining day. There's the solar day and there's a light day. It's day because the sun is visible and it's day because it's light out. So normally those two overlap, so you're fine. But during Bein HaShmashos, it's not a day in the sun sense, but it is a day in the light sense. So that's why it's, yes, it's day and yes, it's night. And therefore, al pi halacha, typically we treat it as a suffix. Every once in a while we don't. Because he points out any time you need something that's hard and fast, that's discreetly defined, then the only definition you can use is visibility of the sun. Because light and darkness is a gradual process. It's a continuous flow. It's not that you can't there's no discreetly definable moment that you can point to. That's why things that require calculation, like Zmanios, so then the only available definition is defined by the sun. And that's the thing is why the Vilna Gaon says you look from sunrise to sunset. But for most cases, both of them are relevant. And so if both of them are relevant, it's not that there's a suffix. It's not that I don't know which is right. They're both right. They're both true. They're elements of both. Bein HaShmashos is the elements of both. And as such, the way you treat it practically is the same way you treat it as though it were a suffix.
So where I struggled was the Gemara starts talking about, you know, how you differentiate between Balkari and Azava. So it says if you see Bein HaShmashos 2 days, so do you assume that one Bein HaShmashos was for the first day and then the other one's for the third day? And so I was going through that Gemara and I had a hard time reading it. If you say, well, no, it's a separate Zman, so what do you mean day one and day three? You know it's this quasi time twice in a row.
Well, so there is a Machlokas Rashi, we don't have a lot of time. There is a Machlokas Rashi in Tosas. He's Rav Grab, maybe we should talk after. We should take a look, or you could take a look in the Yartzeit Rashi. He talks about the discussion Rashi Tosas about that Gemara. And may also relate to. I think it's better. In other words, if to say Suffolk, if you say simple sense of Suffolk, then it has to be that the first Riyah is earlier on the clock than the second Riyah.
Right.
Otherwise, Manavshach. If you say that every day Alpi Din is both, in other words, the first Mashmashas is both day one and day two. The second Mashmashas is both day two and day three. So there are elements of day one and day three that are both getting mixed in here. And regardless of whether it's 5 minutes after Shkia or 10 minutes after Shkia.
Okay.
So that already gives you a different perspective. And then let's close with this. Then, if that's the Psha, so the Vilna Gaon's Tzeis HaKochavim is mamash gorgeous. Because 3/4 of a mil ends up being approximately 6 degrees below the horizon. So 6 degrees below the horizon is civil dusk. What's the idea behind civil dusk? Civil dusk is when it's no longer, until 6 degrees below, even though the sun is not visible, it's functionally speaking still daytime. It's light enough to operate more or less the way you would during the day, which is why for secular legal purposes it's still considered to be day. You can still be in the park. A burglary is still considered to be a day burglary because functionally speaking, it's still daytime. after 6 degrees below the horizon, that's when there may be light out, but not enough. There still is some remnant of the sunlight, but not enough for it to be functionally daytime. So that's Mamash speaks directly, I think, to the Rav's understanding of the two different. In other words, the end of the definition of day as light is when it's no longer functionally light out. There is light. There is some light. It's not 100% dark, but it's not enough light to function as day. It's not enough light to be called day. That's Mamash, what the Vilna Gaon says. So that's Gimel. Once you have Gimel Kochavim out, there is obviously some light left because you're not seeing the rest of the Kochavim, but not enough to call it day.
That's
12%. So that's 6 degrees. That's six degrees, and that's 3/4 of the mil after Shkia. So everything Mamash falls into place. Actually, one closing line is Rabbi Shechter's Nusach about this is no one holds like Rabbeinu Tam. Everyone holds like the Vilna Gaon. Even if you wait 72 minutes, still like the Vilna Gaon. Because he points out that it's very hard to imagine, although there are those who suggest the Rabbeinu Tam, it's very hard to imagine that there's a fixed 72 minutes. It's all discussing astronomical phenomena. So it has to be that 72 minutes are for one particular place in the world, one particular time of the year. It's very hard to imagine that 72 minutes is fixed. So if it's not fixed, 72 minutes in Eretz Yisrael. Do you know what that means in America? You're in a long time. So the Zerah Shefter's take is no one holds like a minute of time. For many centuries, they don't hold like a minute of time. The Shach is if one who first starts to turn the tide back to what it had been before a minute of time. And the Vilna Gaon is the one who really went in for the kill. It sounds like they might have been Davin Mincha very late, and they were Davin Meyer, certainly very, very late. Right. But that's what Shafter's take is. No, we all hold like the Vilna Gaon. He says it's just a question of different his nusach is different communities have different minhagim about how much Tosefa Shabbos to make. There's some communities have a minute to have 72 minutes, but Tosefa Shabbos goes until 72 minutes after Shkia. But that's not really Ben Tam. Ben Tam in New York City would be, you can check Leo Levy's charts. 11 degrees under the horizon is close to 2 hours after sunset. It's very, 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 very long. And Lamasa, certainly in America, there's no one left who does Malacha after sunset. Apparently when the Sama Rebbe came to America, so he was still driving around after the sunset because he followed Ben Tam, Lakula and Lechumra. So until Shkia Shnia, it's Vadayom. And apparently they told him that that's not going to fly here, my friend. So supposedly there's some sort of this meeting of the minds between, supposedly, I don't know if it's true, there's a meeting of the minds between the Satmar Rebbe and Aaron Cutler on that issue.
He's still
got mentally. So that's why the Satmar Hasidim stopped doing Malacha from Shkiri Shona, and that's why in Lakewood they keep 72 minutes. That was apparently the Pshara. Now again, whether 72 minutes is really a valid version of the time or not is a separate issue. But okay, good. Yashar Koach. Thank you so much. Rich, and we will meet again in 3 weeks. I think we might be talking, we have to see what our next topic will be. One of the possibilities is Darkei Amori. Darkei Amori, superstitious behavior in Chukas Akam. It makes a small appearance in the Gemara. It makes a tremendous appearance in the Tosefta here in Shabbos. There are like several prakim about Darkei Amori and Tosefta, I think. At least a paragraph, maybe more. But Darkei Amori and Tosefta, we'll have to see. Or maybe we'll talk about Hotzah. But not the Rishuah part of Hotzah we discussed in the first part. But the practical questions of what can you carry, what can you not carry. When the air is down, what can you do?
Major, well, you have a story about...
If you're making an air for a private property, you have to have food? If it's your own property, you're not doing any shit.
No. Food is only to blend. Yeah, food is for Erev Chatzeres. You should have food, but
not have to put away.
Yeah.
I think Shaquille had a story about this out-of-town community where they brought in a mall, and they have a mall in the house, they bring a mall in. It's a Friday night, they're having dinner, and it's just a Shabbos bris, and he's talking about how the baby was born right after Shabbos started. And the mall says, I'm not doing the bris. Because I hold 72 minutes. So I hold the baby was born on Friday. So I hold special Mizmana. So
I'm not doing it.
Maybe you should have
said this before.
So that's actually the Shach, who's the one who began the move away from Eretz Yisrael. So that is, he's actually in Hilchos Mila. He quotes the Maharam al Shaka, who talks about that. The baby is born soon after sunset. So what's the din?
By the way, yeah, I mean, the baby.
Ben Ashmashas, you don't go do a bris on Shabbos, do you?
Correct, because it's a suffix, whether it's Bizman or Shlob Bizman.
Right.
But we call. We would say that a half hour after sunset, it's already Vaday Laila. Give or take, 6 degrees below the horizon in New York City is approximately it varies between 27 and 33 minutes. So for Kriya Shema, a little more. I mean, it's not for it could be that for Shabbos would be a little more machmer too. But 45 minutes after Shkia,
yeah.
45 minutes after Shkia,
that's
right?
So again, the story works if
right,
the Shabbos
begins
these
entrances. Right, and again, it's before right. For Rabbeinu Tam. It's Vada Yom. It's a Friday bris.
You said it was 36 minutes.
No,
it's 6 degrees is on the average 30 minutes after Shia in New York. It varies between 27 and 33.
My mom holds in New York that it's 36 minutes after.
Right, so they're working with a slightly different number. I think they're working with 8.5 degrees. Because Rav Tukhachinsky arrived at based on, I think, observing stars. Rav Tukhachinsky has this whole chart of different magnitudes of stars and how long it takes to find three of them in the sky. How long after sunset? And he tries to figure out, basically, the Gemara and the Rishonim have more to say about large stars and small stars and Beinoni stars. The question is, what is a Beinoni star? Because I think astronomers have like eight magnitudes of visible stars. I think it goes from 1 to 8 of visible
seems
stars.
Seems like it's almost random how you.
So he has some cheshbon. He tries to figure out what ought to be a kochav Beinoni, what ought to be a kochav kader.
Did you
kochav
ketan?
Yes, I'm not sure. But the problem is that it's not necessarily coherent with the Gemara's three quarters of a mil. So that's right. Willa got very excited at one point. He was someone was a chayal serving in the desert. So he got very excited that I think a Talmud of his was out in the desert.
So he had him
look for stars where there's like the minimal light pollution. So he had him look for stars.
Mark McCall, I think he said Avi Rosenbaum one night with a couple, maybe another guy. It's like the top of some mountain, like away from camp, to try to measure.
You gotta go to Mount Paloma. You gotta go to like Mount Paloma or something.
On the ocean, in the Caribbean, at night.
It's pitch black.
And there's billions of stars. You're missing so many stars.
About once a year in Teaneck Bergenfield.
Yes.
Four times. Four nights.
But
it's cloudy. You still get
the generator.
But also, it doesn't help because you still have light pollution from New York City.
Okay.
I was thinking about that. But
and the field still has light in Bergenfield. You know.
Oh, yeah. Football is hard by
hour. It's unbelievable. The whole blackout, the yellow
sodium lights. You gotta have priorities.
Where are you getting the power from?
You gotta have priorities.
Yeah, just